Welcome to Word Life Church. My name is Pastor Freddie Minifield. You know, I'm so excited that you joined us today. I don't believe it's a coincidence. One thing I know for sure is that the Word of God will make all the difference in your life. And the word you hear today is going to encourage you, it's going to challenge you, and it's going to impact your forever. So whatever you do, get all the distractions away, and you tune in and expect to hear from heaven. And after the message, don't go anywhere. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you on any needs that you may have in your house or your household. You know, there is no time, space, or distance in the spirit realm. You can be healed, delivered, saved right where you are. So stay tuned. After the message, we'll see you then. That creation is the right way. To see teenagers who are not swayed and moved by the pressures of this world, but teenagers who just stand flat-footed and say, no, that's not God. That's not what the Word says. I can't help but to see mighty men and women of God who know and understand who they are going about to make a difference in somebody else's life. You know, y'all have messed me up forever. All I see is mass potential, supernatural, spirit-filled believers going somewhere to happen, to make a difference. And I'm so grateful for that. And I don't take it for granted. Today's subtitle is called The Culture of Heaven. And we're going to look at some things. You know, this series is entitled Truth and Love. And it's so vital because love without truth is not love at all. You understand that? If we don't speak truth in love, we're not really loving. You know, it's a mistake, and it is anti-Christ to not discipline our children. What does the Word say about it? Not what the psychologist says. What does the family, listen to me, we can trust our children to God. There's only two people that believe that? Dear God. Family, hear me. If we don't use the Word of God as our foundation, we will go whichever way the wind blows. Every trend, every fad, every new ideal will have us coming and going. And that's not God's order. What does God say about every situation? What does God say about our lives, our finances, what does God say about the relationships? Not Dr. Phil, not Oprah, not anybody on TV. What does the Word say? Family, we have to establish truth in love. It is so important. It's not going to be popular, but it's so necessary. My mom used to say, it's tight, but it's right. And I believe that. The culture of heaven is truth. Truth is the highest form of reality. What did I just say? Truth is the highest form of reality. Truth has been made available to us one way, and that's the Holy Spirit. Let's go to John chapter 16 and verse 13. Where are you guys going? Truth does not come by our experience, our upbringing, our background. Truth comes one way. Your experience is not truth. The Word of God. Now, your experience will absolutely fight truth. Your experience, and here's the thing. If we are not experiencing what the Word of God says is not on God's side. If we're not receiving from God, it's because we're not receiving. Because God is broadcasting. God is sharing truth to you. The Holy Spirit is pulling, leading, directing, and speaking to you. John 16:13 says, however, when he, everybody say he, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He desires to tell us things to come. 1 John 4:8 says, he who does not love God does not know God, for God, what's it say? For God is love. This series, again, is entitled Truth in Love. Truth in love is allowing God's Spirit, which is truth, to teach us love, which is God. God is trying to teach us to God. The Spirit of truth is trying to teach you to do, act, and sound just like God. The culture of heaven is honor. Family, letting love lead our lives will always end up with God results. Raise your hand if you desire God results. If you desire God results, family, the Word of God, letting love or God lead our lives always ends up with God results. The culture of heaven is honor. Honor promotes favor and the supernatural. Honor the Word of God. Honor God's ways. Honor God's body. The children of God is God's body. Honor. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Where you guys going? We're going to put it on the screen and read it together. This is the New King James Version. Ready? Read. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Now, this is saying, let love be genuine in you. God is love. Let God be genuine in you. Here's the thing. The truth is, we can only participate in love. We can't generate it. Every time we love, we're not the source of it. When we try to be the source of our love extended, it always comes with conditions. Always. The only way to tap into unconditional love is to let God be our source. Is that true? It's the only way. How many of you love, 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 and then you're like, you know what, that's it? I'm cutting them off. I'm gonna love you if. And it's automatic. Even if you never said it, it's subliminal. It's down on the inside. I'm gonna love you from afar. How many of you said that before? God is love. God is unconditional love. We in our own might will always come up short when it comes to love. Let God be genuine in our hearts. Honor those who he says to honor by his might. Honor those who he says to love by his might. Honor the image of God. Honor brings an atmosphere of the supernatural. Honor is for the person, not their activity. That's a hard one. You know, I remember serving in a ministry, and there was an opportunity to dishonor, and I chose twice. There was two ministries that I served in. The first ministry that I served in, the majority of the persecution came from the people because I stayed the course. The second ministry I served in, the majority of the criticism came from the leadership that I served in, and I stayed the course. Now, I didn't stay the course because Freddie, I stayed the course because of who I serve. And there's a difference between King David and King Saul. And I just saw the value of how David did it. And I saw the warning of how Saul did it. And every one of us have an opportunity to choose at any moment to flip over from David to Saul. You realize how good Saul started out? He started out good. He was on the right track. And then something happened. There was a shift. David became a king of honor, not because of the king he served. Pastor Jerry talked about servanthood last week. I don't become a king of honor because of the king we serve. Dishonor does not deserve dishonor. You and I have to choose honor. Why? Because it's the culture of heaven. Honor always produces the supernatural. Look at your neighbor and say, honor always produces the supernatural. David had a kingdom mentality, and he looked past himself. You know, Elmira is like that. Elmira is like King David to me. I've been watching Elmira's life. I guess it was, we got to say Queen Davida or something like that. But this woman stays the course. And Elmira, me and Terlin love you. And we love your example, and we understand what it takes to stay the course. And it's not easy. You and I will always have an opportunity to slip over somewhere else. And I just want to say publicly, I honor you. We honor you. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. These are instructions. We'll read it together so I don't lose y'all. This is the New American Standard. Ready? Read. And that is simple instructions. Honor the people who do you right. Honor the people who look like you, sound like you, hang out with you. Is that what it says? That's not an easy thing. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Honor brings favor. Now look at what it says in verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are harsh, for this finds favor. And that's what we're after. True or not true? How many want favor in your life? And here's the thing. This is what I found. One day of favor is worth a lifetime of labor. You know, if God favors that business deal, it's more than you can ever wrap your head around. If God favors your relationships, it's more than you could ever do. We want the favor of God in our lives. If for the sake of conscience toward God, a person endures grief with suffering unjustly. And I remember serving as unto the Lord for the purpose of, it's about me and you, Lord. I'm going to do what I know to do because of me and you. I am serving. Everyone has heard that. Do what you do as unto the Lord. That's different when you have to do it. When you have to live out the practical aspects of that, it's just totally different. But here's the promise. Honor brings favor. And if you want favor, sow honor. If you sow honor, you reap favor. David was bigger than every attack because of his source, not his strength. You and I can be bigger than every attack if we choose the right source It's not in our own might. It's not in our own ability. It's not in our strength. Self-seeking. Let's go to James chapter 3, verse 16. James chapter 3, verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, this is the New King James, confusion and every evil thing are there. Honor always allows the Holy Spirit to flow in your life. You desire the supernatural. Allow honor to be your roots. Allow honor to be your foundation. Look at the Passion Translation. It says, so wherever jealousy and selfishness are uncovered, you will find many troubles and every kind of meanness. Truth and love, jealousy unleashes the demonic. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. Now we're in a truth and love series. You've already agreed that I can tell the truth in love. You agreed by walking in. That was the disclaimer. You know why truth is so important? It's the only thing that sets us free. It's the only thing that sets us free. I want to know truth. I want to know, partake, and live my life in freedom. 1 Corinthians 3:3 in the Passion Translation says, for you are living your lives dominated by the mindset of the flesh. Ask yourselves, is there jealousy among you? Do you compare yourselves with others? Do you quarrel like children and end up taking sides? If so, this proves that you are living your lives centered on yourselves, dominated by the mindset of the flesh, and behaving like unbelievers. Somebody say, ouch. Keep your eyes on the kingdom. These are our instructions. Keep your eyes on the kingdom. The kingdom of God is interdependent. You know, I had an opportunity to experience interdependency firsthand yesterday. Yesterday, I set out to go to the gym. I work out with a group called Pump and Praise. It's an all men fitness devotion time. And then I would normally go over to another gym and train a fitness session. And then I would prepare for martial arts. So my Saturdays are normally laid out. This particular Saturday I had a luncheon that I was looking forward to. Well, Friday night was not a good night. Friday night spilled over into Saturday morning, so I had to make some last minute adjustments. And so I had to not go to my workout. I had to find somebody to cover me for the fitness session, and the person I reached out to cover me for the fitness session wasn't feeling good. And I was like, okay. And then the person who I reached out for the martial art class wasn't feeling good. And I was like, okay. So I reached out to another person who took on the fitness class. And then I reached out to another person who took on the martial art class. And then everything was on track. And then I ended up having to reach out to two more people to cover the luncheon, and I had some things to take care of that I couldn't take care of because of my personal life. So, and I was like, man. And at the end of the day, I looked over at Terrell and I said, wow, you know, people really came through for me today. This was awesome. It was it was awesome to experience that interdependence on the body of Christ. And she looked at me with this, you don't have a clue, face. And she said, Freddie, you do that for people every day. She said, the reason why you don't realize it is that it's just who you are. And I thought, what an awesome position to be in, to be surrounded with family and loved ones. So everything that needed to get done got done with the support and the team and the family that God put in place. And for that, I am so grateful. You know, I was just filled with gratitude thinking, God orchestrated a group of people to come together for such a time as this. And God is still bringing people together for such a time as this. You know, the call that's on your life, Kyle, is real. The things that God determines to do through you, Derek, is pressing. The things that God has aligned, strategically positioning Jenny, what God wants to do through you is going to go beyond you. Keep yielding and listening. He's doing something. This is not natural. And if we're not mindful of that, we could think it is. We could think we're just kind of coming together. But God is strategically placing people together for what he wants to accomplish in the earth. You are not supposed to live a natural life. God is calling us to live supernatural. That song that God put in your spirit, Tia, is to save souls. What he is doing, your call, is not for you. God wants to get things through you. Look at your neighbor and say, this is not an accident. This is not an accident. Family, allow God to do what he wants to do. Allow God to do what he wants to do in your life. Make that decision. Say, Lord, I am yours to command. Let's say that together. Say, Lord, I am yours to command. Dishonor doesn't deserve dishonor. If I would have wasted time trying to retaliate with the people or the leaders, I would have started out in ministry with junk on the inside of me that God would have just had to wean and work out of me. And here's the deal. Anytime I look at me, that means I'm not looking at the kingdom. Anytime you're looking at you, you're not looking at the kingdom. And God's agenda is advancing the kingdom. And it's so important that we make that decision. It's not about me, it's about the kingdom. You know, we see an example of that. Let's go to Mark chapter 9, verse 33. We see a great example of that when they were going back and forth trying to decide who was the greatest. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed amongst yourself on the road? But they kept silent. For on the road, they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. No one wants to sign up for that training program. You want me to do what? Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Verse 38, this is when Jesus was coming against sectarianism. Now John answered and said, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbid them because he does not follow us. But Jesus said, don't forbid him. For no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. Verse 40 says, for he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Dishonoring others is dishonoring the kingdom. And we have to just settle it once and for all. God is not calling us to give somebody a piece of our mind. That's not God. When you raise up, you want to give somebody a piece of your mind or wave at somebody with one finger, that's not God. Honor is our stance. Dishonor is the tool of the enemy. Connect to the big picture. Have a kingdom view. Family, we owe the world an encounter with God, not an encounter with us. That's what we owe. We owe the world an encounter with a living, breathing Jesus. The next generation should be an upgrade to the body of Christ. You know it's wrong for our children to slip away. It's wrong for our children to not interact with the things of God. It's wrong for it to be diluted. That's not God's plan. Our finish line should be their starting line. Our ceiling should be their floor. That's what God is after. That's God's design. And you know what? It's right to say something about it. It's right to stand for truth and to speak it in love. Honor and value the word of God. The word of God has to be our final authority. We have to get to that place where we make the word of God our final authority, not the counsels of our friends, our cousins, our neighbors, our parents. What does God say about it? That's the only thing that is going to prove out to work in your favor. Because God said, my word will never return void. Honor brings heaven's power to earth. Here comes your assignment. Listen to this. This is your assignment for the week. Find somebody to honor. Monday through Saturday, go out of your way to find somebody to honor. Preferably somebody who you may have had aught against. Somebody who said something, did something. You know what happens if you do that? You unleash heaven's power on earth. You know, I remember being caught up in a black-white situation, and it would be easy for me to lean on that. My growing up in California, you know, watching brothers get snatched out of cars, getting beat up, getting threatened to be taken out in Orange Grove. Easy to fall over into that. And I remember talking to a friend of mine, and he said, you know what? If we can't trust the Holy Spirit now, what do we need him for? If we can't trust the Holy Spirit to help us in the midst of something that burns on the inside, what's he for? Is he just for goosebumps? To shout, get a dance every now and then? Or is he really there to lead me and guide me? And it was such a refreshing conversation because it reminded me that when I have this relationship right, I can have this relationship right. The position of the cross is such when you and I do this, this becomes easy. Well, this has got to be our priority. But you don't know what they said. But you don't know what they did. What did he say? What did he do? Did they die for you? Are they paying any of your bills? Don't give an attack authority over the promises. Don't let that happen. Don't settle in for what the enemy is trying to do. We have to smash dishonor and bring heaven on earth. It has to be a choice. Go forward anyway. It's not about man. Honor the image of God. Honor the kingdom of God. Honor the king. That's what we're here for, to demonstrate honor to the king. The purpose of this series is to speak truth and love in the midst of conflict and confusion. My prayer is that we make a firm stance on truth and what it is. Choose to meditate on the promises, not the problem. The problems will always be there. At any given moment, we can jump in and start reciting, rehearsing problems. What about the promises? Because anything that's a fact is temporary and subject to change. The word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have to settle that. Our promise will outlast every attack. Let's look at the application. Application number one says what? Ready, read. Pray for unity. Agree with what Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed that we would be united. In John 17, 20, 23, Jesus prayed that we would be united. Jesus gave us the glory of the Father so we could do one thing, be one, so that they could see his goodness, his love, his mercy. He wants us to demonstrate love. The way we do that is being one, having a common union. What's number two? Let love live through you. Romans 12, 9 and 10 talks about hating evil, hanging on to good, and honoring people. What's number three? Renounce guilt and shame. If the enemy can keep us looking at our stuff, looking at our faults and failures, he guarantees us we're not looking at Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the only answer that we have. The purity of the gospel can purge the deepest of sin. The answer of sin has already come. The truth is, love will complete what he started in you. Where are we at? Number four says what? Keep hearing truth. Only free people can free people. It's so important that we get the word and we allow it to set us free so we can really be disciples. Truth will expand our capacity to believe. All of us become what we believe. We will become what we believe. What we magnify in our thought life will always manifest. That's another whole subject. Number five, don't lose hope. The plan for your life is bigger than the storm. Please hold on to that. If you are in a storm right now, understand the plan for your life is so much bigger. It is so much bigger. Raise your hand if you're in a storm. And I know the plan of God is bigger than the storm. And it's important that we settle that. It's important we come to the point where we know, family, there is an opportunity for us to go beyond lukewarm and get on fire for God. There's an opportunity for us to stop celebrating us and start looking to the King for our instructions. It's got to be a conscious decision. It's got to be a choice. It's got to be intentional. God is not going to make us. He's not going to ignite us. It's going to be us choosing to look towards him, not in an emergency, because of our love and appreciation for him. What's number six say? Speak life. You are a, look at your neighbor and say, you are a speaking spirit. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And because you are created in the image and likeness of God, creative power is made available through your words. Number seven. Be humble, be teachable. It's the only road to unity. Humility is protection from deception. Pride is the pathway to certain destruction. Absolutely creates turmoil and gives the enemy a foothold. You know, if we're not teachable, we are inviting the enemy in to lead us astray. You know, the truth is God is waiting for you and I to make a step forward. He's waiting for us to return to our first love. If you've been serving God for any amount of time, the lie is the good old days. That's a lie. The good old days are before you. Pouring out of God's Spirit is in front of us, not behind us. Every supernatural experience, every outbreak of the power of God in the past, every move of God is building up to the latter days. We're not supposed to chase moves of God. We're called to chase the God of the move. When we have a relationship with God, we move with Him. We're not chasing anything. We're walking with Him. And it's critical that that shift takes place. He's calling us to more, family. The culture of heaven is available. We have to choose it. The atmosphere is waiting for what you'll say. What are you going to say? What will you speak into existence on purpose? Stress and strife has to leave your life when you say so, because the authority that you walk in. The pressures that the enemy tried to place on your lives is subject to your prayer life. It's subject to your words. Father, thank you for my family. Thank you for each and every person, each and every household that has made themselves available. Father, I thank you for the anointing that is stirred. I thank you for direction. Father, I pray that you would be more real. More real than Instagram, Facebook. More real than the relationships that we walk around with. Father, so many people are depending on likes, hits. So many people are depending on, do you like me? Do you accept me? And they're overlooking you, the only one that died for them. Father, I'm asking for an encounter. I am standing, believing, and speaking a supernatural stirring in their spirits, in their hearts. That they don't believe the words of their friends over the words of their father. That they're not moved by compliments of their peers over what you did for them. Father, that we may have an experience with you. An encounter that goes beyond the surface. touch us in our innermost beings. Father, I thank you for every heart.
Wasn't that a powerful message? Isn't God good? You know, one thing I know for sure, the Word of God never returns void. It's always going to do what it's supposed to do. So here's your challenge. Apply the Word of God that you heard today. If this message has been a blessing to you in any way, I'm encouraging you to consider sowing a seed. You know, here at Word Life, we're seeing lives transform. We're seeing people saved, healed, delivered. And that happens through partnership. So we welcome your partnership if you feel led to come and be a part of what God is doing here. If you have any prayer requests, let us know. We would love the opportunity. I'm going to pray for everybody here in a second. But if you have anything specific, let us know. We would love the opportunity to partner with you in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every viewer. Father, I add my faith to their faith right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over their lives, over their children, over their households. I boldly declare that they are above only and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail, and they walk in victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time.